Right. Good morning, church. Is it on? Good morning, church. Do you want to just stand? Because we're just going to pray. Is it loud? Is this loud enough? No. Shall I change mics? Oh, okay. We're just waiting for the mics to be turned up. Right, okay. Right, we'll just pray. That'll be good. Just when we were singing this song, shall we just pray this in? Because I just felt that it was just like a little bit of a holy moment that we were having. Just in that song when we just sang, I give you all the honour and praise that's due your name. So, Lord, we just want to say that that's where we want to come this morning. We want to give you all the honour and praise truly that's due your name. And we just want to say that we want to give our lives to you. And maybe you're somebody that doesn't really know Jesus that well this morning, but this opportunity is for you also to give your life to him. Just give him your all. And let the Holy Spirit move upon you. Because let me tell you, even in this day, he will meet your deepest need. And I just know for myself, and I just want to thank you, Jesus, that you have broken chains that bound me. And you have set this captive free. And so we just want to say, Jesus, today, we just thank you for all that you've done on the cross for us. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for abundant life. We thank you for all the joys that we find in you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We want to give you praise and worship this morning. And we just pray as we come to your word, I just pray that I will say in the Spirit everything that you want me to say in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Right, do you want to take a seat? So I'm going to read a psalm to you. That you're very, very familiar. So, no, everybody's familiar with Psalm 23. Probably lots of people could recite it to me without me reading it. And it's a wonderful psalm. It's meant so many things for so many people in so many kind of dark times and hard times. But I don't really want to bring it like that this morning. So, of course, you would know that I wouldn't. So, I want it to make you alive this morning. I want this psalm to bring something to your soul and to help your mindset to change you from one place to another. And I think because of life and because we're in the world, as we would say it, we kind of get tainted by worldly ways when we need to keep in heavenly places. So I'm just hoping this scripture encourages you but challenges you and helps you to change for me, because I've been praying this, the atmosphere of our hearts and minds, because we need a God of heaven to do that. Because sometimes we're in one place when God wants to transfer us to another place. So shall we read the scripture? Fantastic scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a glorious, glorious piece of scripture. Well, today, I was just thinking about David. He really understood who his shepherd was. So he understood that everything that he found God to be was true and real. And he knew that God took care of him. He knew that God provided for him. He knew that God protected him. He knew all the promises of God, and he lived in those promises. And if you see David's life, and if you read through him, yes, he got some things right and he got some things wrong. But he knew ultimately who God was. And I just want to ask this question to you today. Do you ultimately know who God is? Do you know that he's your carer, he's your provider, and he's your protector this morning? And, you know, you can say amen or you can say yes, because it would be helpful. But one thing about David, that when you read about him in 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, it says, God said of him, he was a man after God's own heart. And so everything of who he was, he loved God. And he kind of, even in those days where you might not have thought the Holy Spirit hadn't come, but David had the Holy Spirit, let me tell you. You only have to look at his life. David had the Holy Spirit. He was anointed. He was anointed with power. But there was something about him that he knew the heart of God. And for us today, this is what we need to know. We need to know the heart of God. We need to know the heart of God in this scripture, what it's saying to us. So David's job was a shepherd. And I believe that God uses our natural. So in the natural, what we're good at and what gifts we're very clever at and what God has put in us, so God's put in Sonia, she was able to do this painting probably long before she came to Jesus, and God's used that ability. Teresa, when she used to be little, she used to go to the Catholic Church and she used to absolutely adore the singing. And then look where God's put her today. Something in the natural, God uses in the spiritual, and it's really important. So in the natural, David was a shepherd. And here he was. He understood how to nurture. He knew how to protect. And he knew how to bring provision for his sheep, because that's what a shepherd does. He looks after them. And then God used that. He used that natural ability, and he brought it to this wonderful spiritual ability when he was the king of Israel. And I just think that there's somewhere we have to understand as a church that God has called over us all some purpose. So whether you feel, where do I fit in here? What's God got for me? You have been called for purpose, because we all have. So you've not been called here just to go through the motions of life, because none of us have called through just to go through the motions of our own life. We're called for a reason. And so I just want to help you this morning to understand that, because we're meant to put Jesus on display. We're meant to demonstrate the gospel, and we're meant to tell people about who our shepherd is. And so it's not just we receive it, but we're meant to tell other people. Emma, you're a darling. Because Emma's just started coming to church. She wants 2 minutes, and somebody came to, and you started telling somebody about this church. She hasn't been yet, but I'm sure she will. But that is what God's got a plan for us. Go tell somebody else how good our shepherd is. And so I want to read you this, because I think this is where the world tries to take us. The enemy tries to take us out. And I want to read you this part of this book. And for some, it may make you feel a little uncomfortable. Well, I want to say I love uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but I love to feel uncomfy. I love to feel like I'm sat in my chair and I'm thinking I'm squirming a bit. Because when I'm squirming a bit, I know that I'm being convicted by the Holy Spirit. And we're not condemned, so not any of you here are condemned. So anything I say to you today, that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit does convict you. It makes you squirm a little. So I'll read you this. It said, in the language of heaven, success is to be equated with spiritual fruitfulness, not with material prosperity. If God adds material prosperity, that is a bonus. But we will need to watch that it does not blight our souls. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is not to be interpreted as the Lord is my rich patron, I shall have all I want. That wonderful promise, my God shall supply all your need, is not to encourage us to expect a life of increasing influence and affluence, an even greater and a higher standard of living in the world, where millions of people die of starvation each year, and where there are 1 billion people starving or malnutritioned. How can Christians live in the lap of luxury and expect to have a voice to the starving world? Now, I want to tell you that is a jolt to us all, because in this nation, we are rich. We are not in poverty at all, because we do not live like other nations. And I just feel that we need to be awakened that we are in a rich nation. And we have maybe read this scripture. So tell me, hands up, if you've never read this scripture, "The Lord is my shepherd." Just you. That's good. That's truthful, Ryan. So there's only one person that's never read this scripture. But you probably have had years and years, depending on how long you've been a Christian, where you've read this scripture. You might have had years and years where you've heard people preach different messages on this scripture. Usually, I have to say at funerals, where I don't feel it's a funeral scripture, because I don't think it is. But anyway, people have used it at funerals because of its content. But I feel it makes us truly, truly alive. But we've heard it so many times. We've maybe had some teaching, or we've maybe had a preacher preach, and then they've called us up. "The Lord is your shepherd, is your shepherd. I shall not want." And if there's anything that you know that God wants to do with you, or you need God's help in any way, and he's called you forth, and you've maybe had some prayer and some ministry, and I want to tell you, that is wonderful. And I'm not taking that away from you today, because God does both. But let me tell you, how many more years can we keep reading scripture like this? How many more prayers can we be prayed for? How many more ministry times will we have before we give away our good shepherd? Before we go tell somebody who is in need of a good shepherd that there is a good shepherd? And we need to be awakened that that is our purpose and that is our call, just like it was David's. He was a shepherd and God called him for purpose to be a king. God has called us for purpose, and he's called us that we have got a commission. We have been spoken something over us that we have to do. We've got to go tell somebody else. Go give away the good shepherd. Go tell him what he's done for you. Go tell him he's forgiven your sins. Go tell somebody that he's redeemed you from the pit. Go tell somebody that he's a healer. Go tell somebody that he's a deliverer. Go tell somebody else that he's all powerful. Go tell somebody. That is our purpose. That is what we're called to do. We're meant to give away a radical gospel, and it demands a radical response. It demands something of us to go tell somebody else. So if you hold it in, if you hold it in and never tell somebody who's dying, somebody who's lost, somebody who's afraid, somebody who needs the nurture of the God of heaven. Because let me tell you, the world is in a mess because it's lost all its nurture. You're going to school, so all this work that we do with kids, they've forgotten. Parents have forgotten how to nurture their children. They've forgotten how to do it. There's nobody. I just come across it all the time. I can't say so much. But when a child has no breakfast, and I'm going into a child that has had no breakfast, she's never had breakfast, and I've been going to see her for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then we call for things like the Bags of Hope that Heather and Alison and Eleanor are doing. And I see that list. That list should be full. Are we just going to get fatter and greedier with the money that we've got and not put your name down and go take somebody something to go give something away? Because we can do something. It might only be for one person or two people, but we can do something. We can change Selby one at a time. Who believes that this morning? It's massive for us to do. We're not called here to get spiritually fatter and fatter and obese and look gross. We are not called to do that. So when we've got a call, guys, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go. We're going to give as much as we can. We're going to go till we can't stop. We're going to do those things because that's what God requires of us. And so it's very, very important. And I speak that to you as I speak it to myself. It's calling that over us all. And so I'm just going to read you John 10, because obviously you know that I can't talk without talking about Jesus, because I have Jesus Tourette's. And so 1 Peter 5 tells us that we have a chief shepherd. And not only God the Father is our shepherd, but we also have the chief shepherd, who is Jesus Christ. And so it's John 10, and it's verse 11. I'm going to read from 9. It says, I am the door. So I'll tell you in a minute. And if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. So that's a promise. Do you understand that when you read scripture? I am the door. So there's only one way to the Father, and that is through his Son, Jesus Christ. You cannot get in by religion. You cannot get in by coming to church. You can't get into heaven by those things. You can only get in by one way, through the door, that is through Jesus Christ, in repentance and faith, by saying to Jesus, I give you all. I give you my life. I give you everything. We can only come one way. And so those people, if you're feeling like in a place where you're unsure, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit gives you an unshakable assurance of your salvation. So when you've come through the right door, you have an assurance that you're going to heaven. So if you're wobbling and you're thinking to yourself, am I going, am I going, that means that you've not come through the door properly. You need to come through Jesus Christ, through repentance and faith. And let me tell you, you will get that unshakable assurance that you are going to heaven. You're going to live with Jesus for eternity. It's the best place we're going. It is the best place we're going. And so, but you can't go in another way. So don't think you can get in through another door, because it's a lie. Just to tell you that, to make sure you know. And you will find, it says, you will find these green pastures, because that's what a shepherd does. He takes you to the green pastures. He takes you to those beautiful places where you find rest. And it says here, I get so excited that I don't know what I'm doing with myself. And it says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that's what Jesus did for us. He laid down his life at the cross for us, so we might find a shepherd. And it says in verse 27 of 10, my sheep hear my voice. So this is what happens. You hear him, and I know them, and they follow me. Right. Let me tell you, Jesus knew how to speak in the right way, because sheep are crazy. So this week, Dave's been away, and I went to, where did I go, Sonia? I went to Wakefield, to the Yorkshire Sculpture Park. And in the Yorkshire Sculpture Park, there was that many sheep, and they were all over the place. And the first thing that I noticed, I don't think it was Sonia's first thing, but I think this is what God's placed in me. All I saw was these sheep that were all matted up, and they had like poo stuck all to the bum. And all I wanted to do, I said, all I need is a pair of scissors, and I just want to clean them up. And I think that's actually who I am. I always want to help people to understand that they're clean, and that they're clean by the blood of the Lamb. You're not clean by anything else. You're not clean by good works. And I'm talking in a spiritual sense, you know what I'm saying. But you're clean by those things. You're clean by, because Jesus' blood has made you clean. And so Jesus' blood has forgiven us of our trespasses. He nailed them to the cross. He disarmed and dismantled all the rulers and authorities, all the powers. And he put them to open shame at that moment. So let me tell you, when we start singing and dancing, which we all should be moving and jiggling, whatever way, even Paul's going in his body in his Zuma. So, but it's like it causes praise to rise. But let me tell you, Jesus spoke about sheep because sheep like to wander. So sheep like to wander, they like to wander off track. I was on a farming website, who would know that? So I was on this farming website and it told me all these things about sheep, and I just thought, Jesus, you're fantastic, because everything in Scripture, it said on this farming website. Obviously Scripture was first and then the farming website came second. But it told you everything about sheep, and it said sheep are dependent on a shepherd. They have to have a shepherd. You have to have a shepherd. Because otherwise they'll get lost. And so they wander off and they like to go on windy roads. Well, we're all the same. What do? We like to get lost sometimes. We get taken out. We start doing other things that we shouldn't be doing. And then what does he do? The shepherd, he whistles his back with a bit of scripture. In his kindness, in his grace, in his mercy, he shouts us back. He says, come on, get back on track. And so that's what he does. And then, obviously, this was a very good thing. So they do get matted up. And if they're left to be matted up, it said, they get infected. And then it caused them to have disease and die. Well, is that not the same for us? When we get caught up with trouble, and when we've got issues going on in our life, and when we get off track and we wander away, and we get a bit matted up somewhere, because we can all do that. Every one of us can do that. But the grace of God, he comes to clean us. He comes to lead us back somewhere. He is so kind. I want to tell you, you have got the kindest Saviour that you would ever want to have or need. And that's why it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me in these green pastures. He takes me by these still waters. He gives you everything you need. But surely, church, surely we're going to tell somebody. And so just this morning in worship, I'll just tell you this. You see, when we've got the answers, because I want to tell you, there's not one of you here without the answer. So even you, Russell, you're a good one at telling people about Jesus, I know that. Even Russell, every single one of you has got an answer to sin's problems, to the issues of life, to distresses, to pains, for people going through painful things. You've got the answer. Please go tell somebody. I want to tell you that. And in God's presence, the more we get in God's presence, the more you understand the weight of his glory falling on you. And his presence coming to you, he starts just equipping you and stirring something up in you and exciting you about who he is, because that's what he does. And so here we come back to this scripture in Psalms, and it says, even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I just want to say something to you to really help you. God never said to anybody, you will not go through a valley. God never said to one of you here that you would not have an enemy. But he said, you will walk through the valley. And that means that you have a shepherd who's walking through the valley with you. And that is very, very important. And it's important to people today to know that we are feeling distressed or are they going through something difficult. Even in your valley, and this is a promise, even in your valley and you are going through it, God is saying, I will be with you. And so I want you to help you to understand. But on the other hand, as I kind of like to tell you about a bit of reality, what am I doing with that? I can't move. You actually have an enemy. So if you understand, you maybe don't read the Bible much. So you have got God and you've got the enemy. But let me tell you, God is far more glorious and powerful than the enemy. But you have got an enemy who tries to deceive and to try to lie to you. And what he says to you is to stay in the valley. And I don't know how many of you have been in those dark places and where you feel like you want to stay in. It's not a good place for us to be. We don't want to stay in the valley. God's getting us out of the valley. And when he says that he prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemy, Heather was going to bring me this bag of like garbage that she's, well, it wasn't, I shouldn't say that, that's the wrong word. It was of her, out of her recycling bin. But it was full of ants, so she couldn't bring me it. And I was going to do two tables. But God prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemy. So the table that he prepares for us, which is glorious, is the word of God. You will find everything you need on that table, in this book. It is a question, you know, that I'm going to ask you, because I can't help it. But who is reading their Bible on a daily basis? Because let me tell you, if you don't, you will wander off and you'll get taken off track. Because that's what happens to you. If you do not read the word of God, you will hear the words of the enemy clearer than you hear God's voice. Because you won't have the word of God in you all the time, and you'll get taken out. So if you're wandering off, you'll understand, I'm maybe not reading the Bible enough. And that is not a condemnation, that is a conviction. Read your Bible. Read it every day. You need it. It's food for your soul. And so there's many churches that don't say that. I'm sure they don't say that in the Catholic Church of the Christopher. Read your Bible every day. I doubt it very much. But I'm telling you, read your Bible every day, because it's right to do that. And there's a table that God has prepared for us, and there's a table that the enemy's prepared for us. And when Joyce, where are you, darling, read all those things out that were forgiven, and we're redeemed, and we've been made righteous because of the blood of Jesus, and we're alive, we're not dead anymore. And she started reading all these things out this morning, first thing. I wonder if your spiritual ears were open. I know the mic was a little quiet, but I wonder if you heard them. Because the enemy wants to tell you all those negative things. He wants to tell you of no value. He wants to tell you, if you're a sheep and you've gone wandered, that you can't come back. Well, let me tell you, you can. He wants to tell you that where you've got is a hopeless situation and there's no hope for you. Well, that's a lie. There's always hope in Jesus Christ. He wants to make you feel like you are not a son and daughter of the living God. That is a biggie. But you are. You belong in heavenly places. You belong in the royal palace where God is. And if you read your word, you will hear and you will read heavenly things every day, and it will transform your heart and mind. And let me tell you, a big thing that it does, it changes the atmosphere. So if you're in an atmosphere where you feel a little hopeless, if you're in an atmosphere where you've got a bit of gloom, let me tell you, the word of God will come and bring something different over you. So I'm not going to say nothing else. I was listening to this song, Amazing Grace. This is Amazing Grace. This is Unfailing Love. That you would lay down your life. And it's an absolutely fantastic song. Trees might bring it for us maybe next week. It says this, that he brings our chaos back into order. And let me tell you, he brings the world's chaos back into order. And so that is why I'm telling you this morning and sharing with you, this is what he does. He anoints our heads with oil and our cup overflows. So he brings us all the power of heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he anoints us and our cup overflows. And it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How glorious is that? Does that not excite you, church? That his oil of gladness, even though you may be going through the valleys, is flowing in and out of you and it can flow in and out of you, because there's some people here, you're going through some difficult situations this morning. You're going through some hard times and you're thinking, where are the answers? But they're found in the Good Shepherd. They're found in the Good Shepherd this morning. So go read it and go understand it. And so shall we just have a little bit of a time where we kind of respond to these things? I've written some things down, and we will have some prayer. But ultimately, shall we stand up and shall we say that this is where we want to be? To God today. You see, we do not want our souls blighted. We do not want that to happen, because we're not living on the poverty line as much as other countries. And I know there's going to be difficult times come here, but you are not living like other worlds live, where they've got no food at all and they are dying and starving. You are not those people. And we've got to be a people with generous hearts today. So I want you to ask yourself, and maybe put your hand on your heart, is my heart generous? Maybe close your eyes today. Is my heart generous? Is it generous? Ask yourselves. It actually says in 2 Corinthians 13, go read it, to examine ourselves and really to see if we are behaving like Christians. Go ask ourselves. Go let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart to say, am I behaving like a Christian? Because when selfishness and comfort start to affect our hearts instead of compassion. So when Carl started to speak last week, and you could hear and feel the compassion of heaven coming out of his very pores. And then he does this thing, and he pours himself out with all his feelings, and one person responds. Now, I'm not saying that is all of you. You've maybe not forgot to come up to Cal. But you know, church, should we not all be responding? This is the vision of the church. This is our purpose, that we are going to go to those families, and we do it in lots of areas. We do it through the Bags of Hope. We do it through the school assemblies. We do it through Reflect. We're going to do it through Kids Club. We're going to do it through Making Lunch. We do it through so many things. But church, let's give of ourselves. Let's not get any fatter than we are in our spiritual state. Let's go give something away to a needy world. And we say, Jesus, come today. Holy Spirit, if I just say anything, I just pray that you'll change the atmosphere of our heart and mind this morning. Please remove selfishness. Please remove greed. Please remove comfort from our hearts. Help our souls not to be blighted by materialism. You never said that fruitfulness was about spirit, about earthly gain. You said it was about spiritual fruitfulness. And so we just say, Lord, I just pray that you would come today. I pray that you would teach us something in our souls. Teach us how to love. Teach us how to give. Teach us how to be kind and generous. Teach us when, even if it isn't our passion, that you've caused something of us to be compassionate. And so I thank you, Jesus, today. I thank you, Jesus, for all your compassion. I thank you for all your kindness, for all your nurturing, for all your provision, for all your protection that you bring over our lives. And we just want to say, Holy Spirit, help us to give it away. Help us to give it away. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.